In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not sure how many of you know this about when my family moved here to California, but we bought our house sight unseen. We knew we wanted to buy a home, and we knew that when we were coming to Calvary, it was a seller's market, a little bit like it still is now. And we would mark home after home in Clifton, Northside, North Avondale, Oakley, other neighborhoods in the surrounding area. And time after time, we'd tour a home via video chat with our realtor. So I guess we saw it via video. And we'd look at these Zillow photos beforehand with these appealing wide-angle lens pictures. And the reality of those photos was very different than many of these homes. And there was one that was really appealing to us here in Clifton, this house. And then our realtor showed us the surrounding area, and that home was right next to a fraternity house. So today's gospel is a little bit like trying to buy a home in a hot seller's market. And I'll get to that in a bit. Last week, our ministry study intern, Kyle, preached, and he mentioned how last week's gospel and this week's gospel fit together. If you weren't here to hear the first part of the two-part gospel lesson, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replies, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And after these affirmations of identity, we get to today. Jesus came to reveal to us a saving truth that is stronger than death. Now, Jesus has just handed over to Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It's like the hot real estate market, the seller's market in our neighborhoods these days. And the disciples, they're ready to buy. They're ready to buy into the kingdom, full stop. And Jesus has convinced him that he is the Messiah from the line of David. He's shown them that he's a new authoritative teacher like Moses. And not only that, Jesus is God with us, or in Hebrew, Emmanuel. And all of this ties back to Abraham, the promise that following in this line will give you great blessings. Now, Peter's call to follow Jesus was like touring a home he'd always wanted to live in. If you remember, Peter was out fishing, and Jesus says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fish for people." And Peter wastes no time, immediately drops his nets and follows. Now, at this point in the story, in the gospel today, everyone who's coming into immediate contact with Jesus, who's experiencing feeding, healing, not everyone, not the chief priests and the scribes, not even his family members are going, "We're a little neutral on this Son of God thing," but everyone experiencing the healings, the feedings, they're excited and they're ready to buy in. In chapter 14, Jesus has fed 5,000 people, most likely a Jewish crowd, and then immediately following fed 4,000 people, likely a Gentile crowd. Jew and Gentile alike are getting excited about Jesus. And Peter is ready to buy into the kingdom 100%. At this point in the story, Jesus has handed over the keys. The deal is done. The contract signed. "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Well, today we hear the key to the saving grace of God's kingdom through the Christ, the Messiah himself. And it's definitely not what Peter wanted to hear. It starts like this. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering and be killed. and on the third day be raised. Now, this is like the moment that someone who, in their frenzy to buy a home, signs the contract, no appraisal, no inspection, invests way more than the asking price because hundreds of others are in line to make a bid for this deal too. And then the keys are handed over and he owns the house. And he walks in and the boiler's broken, the foundation's cracked, and the roof is caving in. And the neighbors, no one told him about these neighbors. Buyer's remorse. The foundation of the kingdom must undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. Somehow, I think by this point, Peter's failed to hear the last phrase, and on the third day be raised. Peter definitely had a narrative about what it meant for Jesus to be the Messiah. And suddenly, Jesus didn't look like the flashy, wide-angle lens images. The kingdom of God is looking like a lemon. Peter uses his newfound authority as key holder to the kingdom and admonishes Jesus. God forbid all of this, Lord. And Jesus comes back with an equally strong rebuke. Eugene Peterson paraphrases it. Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works. And then Peterson continues, then Jesus went to work on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has got to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? So my husband and I closed on a house in Northside just over a month before we moved to Cincinnati. We were confident. We remotely toured the home. We even saw the surrounding area with a playground just a block away, a school within walking distance. We made the down payment and we did a remote close. And the real estate handed over the keys to my parents. They drove over from Indiana and they kept it safe for us. And we were preparing to move to Northside and to Cincinnati. And just a week before we left California, we discovered a site on the internet, just a little bit like next door, called, it is on Facebook, Only in Northside. And on the group, we discovered a news report about our new neighborhood. And so we clicked on it. A bar had been raided by the police. They'd busted down the doors and busted multiple gang members with guns. We opened Google Maps. The bar was just a block from our new home. Our initial reaction, God forbid it, Lord. I don't think I've shared with many of you, but that the first days and weeks of moving to Cincinnati were filled with uncertainty about what the coming days and weeks and months would hold in our new home. So what does this have to do with us as the church? It's easy for us to shake our heads in disbelief at Peter when he responds, how could Jesus, the anointed one, be tainted by suffering and death? Because we know the whole story. But isn't this the struggle of the church and people of faith throughout history? How do we keep that which bears God holy, pure, and undefiled by the world of sin and suffering and death? We've done our best to do it. For the Roman Catholic Church in its recent history, this has meant that Mary, the Mother of God, must have been immaculately conceived. For American fundamentalists, this has meant asserting the inerrancy of Scripture. Reformers, including some of us Episcopalians, have recovered St. Augustine's notion of the invisible church, where true and elect believers unite in supernatural fellowship around the world. In contrast to the visible church, filled with conflict, corruption, scandal, and all of the humiliations that typical local congregations go through. Here's what we discovered at our home in Northside, a neighborhood that has struggled and suffered from gang violence in the past 25 plus years, and a community that sticks together and does the hard work of building community, a community that invited my family and I to do the same alongside them. And today, we live in a house in a wonderfully diverse neighborhood that has, by and large, beat gang violence. All those gang members are now 40-something years old. And persevered. It's persevered to become, they all got out of jail and came back to their neighborhood and said, "What happened?" Persevered to become a joyful and safe place for families to live. I discovered neighbors who believe that the way to this has been through sharing in the suffering of our fellow neighbors and seeing the redemptive power of a community dedicated to mutually helping each other in the name of hope and of love. Both Northside and this neighborhood, Clifton, and maybe the neighborhood that you live in too, have elements of the kingdom of heaven. And it's surprisingly not found in all that is settled and immaculate, but amid the mess. Now, it's really tempting for a beautiful church like Calvary Clifton, with our building on the hill in the Gaslight District, to fall prey to Peter's response and fail to live into our mission to open ourselves to God's grace, recognizing that we are broken saints and redeemed sinners. My colleague Jason Emerson posted a meme on Facebook this week that read, "Stop looking for the perfect church. Go worship a perfect God with a congregation of flawed people who need grace as much as you do." Stop looking for the perfect church, house, neighborhood, life. Go follow a perfect God alongside flawed people around you who need grace as much as you do. The amazing thing about Jesus in today's gospel lesson is that God chooses to become, as Pastor Jen S. Kim notes, not so immaculately conceived by coming as a despised Jew in the Roman Empire, a lowly Galilean among the Jewish establishment, living in the mess of humanity, and ultimately becoming a victim of our collective dysfunction. He continues, if we're going to become followers of Jesus, we cannot become any less vulnerable with, towards, and for others. Our concern is not first and foremost with the purity of the church or the rightness of our doctrine, but our willingness to follow Jesus into the world and onto the cross. We do not control God or give Jesus the conditions for our discipleship. Instead, we risk contamination and insecurity by releasing the need to protect our lives and institutions. Just as Jesus revealed the way of the kingdom as the way of suffering and brokenness, so he established the church on the identity of Peter, of all people, the one who blurts out all the wrong answers, is a total brown noser, falls into the water as soon as he steps out, and ultimately denies Jesus 3 times. Peter! I can see in the scripture that came up from last week that leads us to today, Jesus' internal eye roll. You are Peter, dumb as a rock. And on this rock, I build my church. And that is our legacy to this day. And that's the point of today's gospel. That whenever suffering and struggle and doubt and confusion confront us, we're to recognize these things as an essential part of the story. And keep moving through it. And just like Jesus himself, he will raise us up on the last day. Amen.